Thank you, Pastor Wes. Wonderful to be with you guys this morning. So we've come down from Auckland. We hail from South Auckland in Manukau District. And as I'm just introducing Dad, I've also got a setup. He's got a little clip he wants to play for you. We were playing it earlier for those that were here at the very start of everything this morning. I think this comes from the 80s. He thinks it comes from the 70s, but it's from the times before my dad still had hair. So those of you that have visited his website, this is from, we just call it Galactic Management. And just trying to find the video cable here. Winky's been in ministry for over 57 years now. He began ministering in high school. In high school, there was no rule that when you graduated, you have to leave. So he asked if he could go back another year and spent that year ministering to his high school of 1,000. And they saw 100 kids give their lives to the Lord. And he's been an evangelist ever since. So, 57 years of evangelism now and counting. Praise God. He's authored about 17 books, was one of the three general editors on the Revival Study Bible that Pastor Wes was talking about. That was a big project. He's done Youth Aflame, which has been used to train probably tens of thousands of leaders around the world. We found out about this group in the Philippines that they used Youth Aflame. There were three streams of the Jesus movement. That was a revival that took place back in the 60s and 70s that my dad was a big part of. And we found out he was invited many years later after they had sent, back in I think the late 60s, early 70s, about 200 or 300 copies of his book, The Youth Aflame, Discipleship Training Manual, and gave them permission to translate it into any dialect in the Philippines that they wanted to. So I don't know how many, it was maybe, 40 years later, he went and he was at this large boardroom table, and they had all these major leaders from the movements, the three different streams of the Jesus movement, and said, Grandpa Winky, you know, this guy came up, can you sign my Youth Aflame? And he had one of the originals from 1968, and said, we've launched 10,000 churches. Wow. This represents 10,000 churches, and all of our leaders have been trained using your manual. Wow. Youth Aflame. We keep finding out stories like that. Everywhere we go, it's just amazing how many people have used the material that God put out through my dad over the years. He's been, Mario Murillo, works out of the U.S., calls him an architect of revival. He gives ministers the materials that they need to build foundations for creating an atmosphere for revival. So just going to pull up this little clip. Sound guy, we need the sound nice and loud on this. Everyone can hear it clearly. But I'm just going to play this clip, and then Winky will come up and share with us what he feels God's laid on his heart today. So this is from the days when he had more hair.
I made a card a little while ago, because I fly in planes and people ask me, what do you do? I said, then well, I tell people about God and stuff. They'd go, ah! So I didn't want to give them a card that had fish or crosses on it, because sometimes when you give them a card with a fish on it, they think you manage a pet shop. And when you give them cards with crosses on, sometimes they think you're in charge of a funeral parlor. So here's my card. It's a silver spiral nebula. It says Galactic Management Associates. Family owned and operated. And I have so much fun with this card. People say, what do you do? I say, well, I'm with Galactic Management Associates. And they go, what is that? I said, it's a management training program. So what is it for? I said, well, we're in training to rule and reign over the universe. They go, really? How did you get into this? I said, oh, it's exceptionally costly. Now, a lot of people really like to get in, but it's very costly. And they said, well, how big is it? I said, you wouldn't believe how big it is. Actually, I don't know if anybody's going to really be able to count the number of people who are involved with this. And they said, well, how long has it been running? I said, this is actually the oldest company in existence. And they said, well, how much does it cost to get in? I said, how much you got? And they say, well, you know, who's in charge? Who runs it? I say, you mean who is the boss of the company? And they go, uh-huh. I said, well, I don't know if you'd believe me if I told you. And they look at me, who? And I say, have you ever heard of the Big Three? See, if you have wandered in here tonight and you think Christianity is something like a Rotary Club, just to make you nice and sort of upstanding citizens, God is taking a body of people and He is putting together a church, and one day that church will rule and reign with Him forever. He is the head and we are His body. We're in a training program to one day spread and fill out the universe under our commander and our captain, the Lord Jesus Christ. Christianity is just getting you back to where we fell. It puts you in to the training program. Costs you everything you got, but the best is yet to come.
Appreciate it. I apologize for my name. I'm not a gay purple Teletubby. But I am a radical. And I'm here to activate a huge chunk of God's people that have not been able to do what He called them to do. So I'm here to break some boxes. Because God hasn't got any boxes. He does astonishing things. So you're looking at a nerd chemist that got saved. And it's not my fault. Trouble with Jesus, He acts like He's God or something. He just comes up to people and they've got their own jobs to do and stuff, and then He just says, follow me. And it's not even a 3-part sermon. It's only got 2 parts, follow and me. And what do you think that Hebrew or that Greek word actually means? It means follow Him. So that's what happened. I did, and I'm still here. So thank you for prayer. I've had 3 chances of dying and I'm not really good at it. So, I want to tell you something very important about our nation. This is a critical time, of course. You all understand that. And that prophetic word that we just got underlines just what God's concern is about this nation. There's something very, very special about this country. And I want to share with you some of those things. I found a lot of these. So, I've called this God's Day Off. And I put underneath it God's divine purpose for nations, not just this one, seeing the place of Pacifica in New Zealand. And I want to show you very quickly this background. In 2007, I better just show you some of these. Do you mind? This is a PowerPoint. I hate PowerPoints because they have no power. They're powerless. And often they don't have any points. But what I'd like to do, because we only have a certain amount of time, I said to Wes, you know, how long I've got, and he probably should have said, you know, you can preach as long as you like, but everybody leave at about 11:30. So I thought, at least with this, and I want to leave a copy here with Wes and the church, if any of you can't follow this, because if I run out of time, I'm just going to hold the key down. And then you go, oh, yeah, and get it. But we've got a block of time, so we're going to show you this. Oh, I don't know why that's so fast. Boy, it's so incredibly quick that the whole thing is just gone. So did you get it? I got to go back to the very beginning of this. 2007, near Easter, it was in Korea, my first trip to Korea. I was supposed to be there for 3 days, and I wound up there for nearly 2.5 months. In 2007, near Easter, I died, and I said, not long enough to write a book about it. You're supposed to write books about when you die and stuff like that. So after I died, and I won't tell you all the details on that because it'd take too long, I had 2 more months I spent in hospital. There were people with cancer that were walking out when I was still there. And this wasn't like an invasion of, you know, some super bug that they put you in little bubbles for. It was simply an infection that happened when I fell down some stairs running down. And then my transverse colon, instead of behaving itself, pinched like this. I thought, I'm about to leave to speak in Korea, and I'm hiccuping all the time. You can imagine teaching a Bible college for a whole day, hiccuping every about 20 seconds like that. It got embarrassing, see. But I didn't realize that transverse colon had gone like this. And then after a short time after that, it began to perforate. So on the plane going to Korea, I was dying and I didn't know. And so when I finally found out, I had almost 2 weeks in a coma, and then I died. And but I was being prayed for, and I think I became a test case for global prayer. They worked out over the 2 weeks almost that I was in that coma. We had almost 10,000 people a day around the world praying for me. So that's why I'm here, because of the prayers of the saints and because of Jesus. So when I got to leave finally and come back, my last operation, I had 3 major ones, and by the second one they said he's only got about 10% chance of living. And then all this prayer exploded. And when I finally came out of the coma, I won't tell you, that's so cool. By the way, if you're not saved, if you're going to die, you better get right with God. I'll just put it like this. The coolest thing about dying, and I've had practice, remember now, the coolest thing about dying is that there's no pain and there's no fear if you know God. If you don't know God, I can't help you. So get saved even today if you're not. Is that all right? Okay. Anyway, I got to show you this fast. During the 6 months back in New Zealand, I couldn't fly anywhere. I couldn't drive. Couldn't do anything. I only went to church twice the whole 6 months there. I went to see Benny Hinn, my friend, and then I went also to Manifest Presence, which some of you know about. That's the only 2 meetings I went to the whole year. But I sat every day at nighttime. How many of you are night people? 3 of you. You're awake during the night. Those kind of people. The owls. You know. How many of you are day people? Where are you other aliens from? What kind of people are you? Or are you just both? You don't care anymore because you, so if you're a nerd, you have no idea what time it is. But during that like, about maybe 9, 10, I slept for a couple of hours, and then I woke up and then spent all night with God, just talking to him. I sat there with a book called the Bible, incredible book, get it? I had a Bible and also my computer, which I'm a scientist, so I get all kinds of cool things here. So all I did is talking to God, not aloud. He's very smart, God. He doesn't need to hear your voice. He knows what you're thinking, and he can talk to you and tell you what to do. And he doesn't have to go, wanker, you know, and freak you out. He just says things, you know. He's got to listen. But that's basically what I did. I call it silent prayer and just reading his word. And this is what happened. I asked him, is it all right if you think you could ask God questions? I was talking to my friend here sitting, Joan Leslie. I said, there's a little girl whose name was Anna. It's a true story. And when she was 8 years old, she was discovered walking around. Nobody knows where she came from. She was like an orphan just walking the streets. So a scientist guy who is actually, he's an electronics guy and, you know, all kinds of stuff, he adopted her. And little Anna, they did a book called Mr. God, This is Anna. So Anna looked at this lovely guy to help take care of her. His name was Finn, and she said, Finn, how many questions can you answer? And he said, oh, a lot, you know. I don't know, hundreds, maybe even thousands. She said, I can answer more questions than that. I can answer a squillion questions. Squillion was anything over a million, see. And then he said, well, nobody can answer a squillion questions. She said, I can. And he said, well, I could answer a squillion questions, but I wouldn't get them all right. She said, no, I can answer a squillion questions and get them all right. He said, nobody can do that. She said, I'll prove it to you. What is one and one and one? And being a genius, he knew what that was. He said, three, of course. She said, what is six take away three? He said, three. She said, what is two and one? Three. And then she said, what is a half and 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 a half? He said, hold on, you're cheating. She said, no, I'm not. When you begin with an answer, you can get a squillion questions right. If you brought your questions to God today, start with the answer and you'll get them all right. So these are the questions I ask God. These are just, they're weird questions, but I'm a weird person. I ask this, what do you do when you're not involved in religious things? Most of my ministry is not with church people. That's why I want to apologize for not being an awesome pastor. Like, well, I'm sorry that I'm not, and I'm just a nerd, okay? But I'm mostly talking to college students and high school students, and a whole chunk of them have never seen Jesus, never met him, never done anything like that, never read his book, nothing. So I'm asking God, what do you do that isn't religious? Do you do anything that's not a church activity? If you do, then what else do you do on your day off when you're not doing anything? What else do you do? And then in the light of this question, here was the two things. I said, if you show me in your book, that's that Bible I told you about, something I've never seen, if you say, look at this, and then I look at it, first of all, I want to know, is that really you showing me that, or did I have a pizza and I thought this was kind of cool? Is it really you? And if you say, yeah, it is, and then I read that and I go, what in the fat is all this about? That, you know how big the Bible is? Like 66 books of the thing. You can't read that over a toilet. It takes a long time to do that. So anyway, this is like the second question is 2A and 2B, you see. If you show me in your book something I've never seen, how can I know what it says to me from you or what does it mean? And in the next 6 months, God began to unravel for me the things I'm going to pass on to you today. First of all, I want you to understand something about God. He is not really religious. He really isn't. That is what embarrasses religious people about. Why can't you get more religious and be like us? Can you imagine what it's like to be some, you know, guy who's in charge of tax collection in Jesus' time? And he's up a tree. His name is Zacchaeus, see? And Jesus is walking past, and he doesn't say what you're supposed to say if you're religious and witnessing. Hello, what's your name? Zacchaeus, interesting name. Zach, have you got any time? I'd like to share a few things with you. And if you haven't, it's okay, you know. Maybe I can get to talk with you. He doesn't talk like that. He says, Zach, he knows his name. Zach, get out of your tree. Zach falls out of his tree. He's hiding up there because he's a tax collector, wouldn't you? He's hiding up on the tree. Jesus says, I'm going to come to your house for lunch now. Zach runs home. He says, guess who's coming to lunch? When? Now? Who? Jesus and the 12 disciples. Poor Mrs. Zach. She's looking at Jesus. What are you thinking of? You invite Jesus in the... Oh, here he is. Hi, Jesus. And she's looking at her, every woman knows this look. That. She says to him, what? Why did you invite Jesus to lunch here? He said, I didn't invite him. He just invited himself. He talks like he's God or something. He just... You know what? He is. He really is. You got to understand, when you talk to him, you're looking at the boss of the universe. And the wild thing is, he can move into you. All Israel was called to serve the Lord with gladness. This is something non-religious at all. You're a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a special people to himself. This is a dumb little nation, and God says, I'm going to hang out with you, and you watch what happens to you. Okay? When he does that with New Zealand people, you have no idea what is possible. Yet only 10% in this little country were actually, I'll call them professionally religious, with a specific ministerial call. Now, the church is a very special thing to God, and I'll show you what that is in a minute. But only less than 10%. If you go to Israel now, less than 10% of the people of Israel are religious. The majority of them are doing other things, like being scientists or engineers and all kinds of cool things. But everybody, when God talked to Israel, Moses calling all Israel and said to them, hear Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears, that you may learn them and keep them and do them. Now this is all Israel. One of the last great fallen, I call it a principality, left to be broken in the church. And this has gone on for 2,000 years and it's time to stop. And today we're going to stop this. It is an artificial distinction. We used to use the word clergy. The clergy, those who get a special religious call. And then the laity, that's everybody else. Okay? We all know that. So who's the clergy? The clergy do the spiritual work. They're people who have special anointings on being spiritual. And then what does the laity do? The clergy just clerge. And the laity, they just lie around, do nothing at all. But they work to keep them on the job, which is why we have collections, you see. Yet as far as God is concerned, if you read his book, there's to be no vocational distinction between what we call secular and see only as sacred. All of the saints, this is my son's study here, all the saints are seen as already in his service, whether you get a religious calling or not. All saints are in his service. There's only one real recognized scriptural difference for us to maintain in our actions in daily life is between the holy and the unholy. Okay? Now, God says this, they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. But they will become his slaves, this is the boss, outside of God, so they may learn the difference between my service and the service of the kingdoms of the countries. Basic remedy of having a bad boss is to change ownership. Yeah. Yet in the Bible, and here's the thing I discovered, and it was mind-blowing to me, there are over 40 major sacred vocations, sacred callings, as sacred as any being a pastor or an evangelist or a revivalist or a missionary, as sacred as that, but not religious, see? Not at all religious, and not only given to mankind by God and for God, but even originate as rooted in his very nature and character. The jobs I'm going to show you about very briefly today, then I'm going to show you the three gifts that God's given to the Maori people in New Zealand and why this is so significant. They are not Levitical religious things, not even family roles like husband, father, brother, but in every way, true, genuine, religious, no, but divine callings. And we found this. This is a, if you look at this as a book, it's a new book. We did it here in New Zealand just a couple of years ago. We call it Spiritual Vocations. It's the only thing I can think. So if you look at the original book, it looks like an alien egg. And it's actually a word wrap done as an alien egg. Because we want people to know that what you're looking at is something out of this world. It does not belong to this normal world. And that's what I want to show you. You have, sitting here, a huge chunk of you, have that gift or gifts in your life. And I'm going to take the three quick ones and show you. All right, how are we doing? Here's some of them. A quick look here. I don't even know. A huge chunk of these I'd never seen before. I didn't know that God even thought about that kind of thing. There are obvious ones that we'd say, well, God is, I know he's an artist because I see what he does. Or I know he's a judge. He's not a judge, he's the judge. He's not a lawyer, he's the lawyer. Didn't you see E.T.? Didn't you see that little weird-looking alien little guy and wonder what he is? He actually was a gardener, like God. Look at these things here. That's some of them. The ones in the middle are alternate words you could use to describe that thing. And the ones on the right, I didn't know what to call them. It's just, these are the things that he works in, the functions, if you like. Here's another one. Look at these little things. And as you're having this very quick look, I thought, when I'm talking to the Lord about this, I thought he was going to give me something that would probably take about 10 pages. Do you know how big these 40 gifts are? And that's just looking at some of the things in those 40 gifts. I thought there would be at the most maybe 10 pages in a 600-page book. There are 880 pages for these verses. And is this all? No. It's just what he showed me on it. You know what that Bible's got in it? It is so scary. Wait till you say, get a Bible. Don't just go, I've got a little New Testament here. So when the bullet comes, you're going to use bullets, get a family Bible, get a big, thick, get a double family Bible, one in the front and one in the back. And they're shooting at you when you're running away from the other guy. I'm going to take you very fast through these because we haven't got time to look at them all. So we'll just say this. God originates so many of the most significant jobs and vocations, not vacations, on earth. You do not need to be called to any religious work to have a sacred calling given by God. Why do you think it's so hard for revival to break out? Because we haven't got enough pastors and evangelists and missionaries. But we do have workers. These vocations are spiritual calls. Hundreds and hundreds of scriptures. Sometimes hundreds and hundreds of scriptures just on one of these things. How do you think God gave us this? Man of every creed and race, gather here before your face, asking thee to bless this place. God defend our free land. I'm going to show you a national anthem. Do you know what they were going to do at Christmas time? Take away the first two lines of our national anthem. What on the fat is that? If all the useful and great jobs ever made available to mankind are actually finite extension expressions of what he actually is, they are originally given, often before we are born, as one or more of his gifts for us. These are a call to make our world lived and loved with him a better place. Here's something scary in the U.S. they found out. Some of the mega churches that we have some very large churches in the U.S. And our home church, one that Billy William, he's called now. Don't call him Billy because he's bigger than a bill. Some of these are mega churches. We're talking 10,000 people in these churches. And one of the scary things it has, especially for pastors of these large churches, is what happens to the young people. Now, you'd expect, if you're Christians and godly people, that all the young people who probably get born in the church and then have been baptized, the legs have been lengthened and they've been to camps and things and all kinds of, you could expect that around at the end of high school, they'd probably leave and then become part of the ministry team. One of the scariest things they found, especially in Texas, which is the buckle of the Bible Belt, that up to 87% of kids who graduate from high school never come back to church again. Why do you think that is? People think, well, Richard Dawkins is a genius, and there's a lot of smart atheists and stuff. So I've talked to the kids. Many, many of them still love God. Then why did they leave? Because all they ever got at church was religious things. And they had something they would love to do, but they didn't even think God could even think like that. When we break this box, and it's a real box, you understand? If we're trying to lead somebody to the Lord and we have a little box, they have to go through this box in order for them to get saved. So we usually ask them, have you got any Christian? No, I'm an atheist, actually. I'm not really good at that. Or do you have a Bible? Well, I do have a Bible. What kind of Bible is it? Oh, no, that's the wrong Bible. That's not a bright. See, we've got to go through 40 of these things before you can even get saved. It would be nice if you just had a job and you wanted help with it, and boom. Somebody gave you something that blew your mind. They're going to do that. Now, fast. I believe that any nation called to bless the world are given God gifts that may mark it as evidence of his power, wisdom, and goodness. If you travel a lot, you'll see this. Each nation seems to have certain kinds of things. My friend John Dawson says, and God made Mexicans. And Mexicans made Mexican food. Let us all pause and worship. I believe that this nation and original peoples who became its first finders inherited three major gifts from God, now evident in those who come to make this place their new home. This is evidently true of the Pan-Pacific Rim. And I'll show these three. The first one seems strange. The first gift that was given to the Maori people and now to all of those in that Pacific Rim, God is not a gardener, the gardener. And that is why Maoris and others try to take care of the land, because it's a gift. Now, let me show you something about this land. This is the first verse in the Bible that mentions a job. Now, here's our God, because he's really powerful and smart. He does things. First, he invents water. Looks stupid, but it's not. It's brilliant water. Can't have time to tell you about water, but it's unbelievably amazing. Water speaks languages. Water. I'm talking about water. Yeah, that thing that looks like Mickey Mouse with the hydrogen ears and an oxygen base. Water is brilliant. It's an invention from God. Okay? He talks to water. Water doesn't go, oh. It knows what he's talking about, and it speaks any language, and it understands music and all kinds of cool things. You only see it when you see a snowflake, and you've never seen one snowflake alike. Can you imagine this discovering it? Shoot, what kind of thing is a snowflake? How does it become just look ordinary looking, then it drops, and it gets a little warm, and then jumps. Then I was telling about one New Zealand stream that's running. It's very pure. And the guy who was trying to rediscover how snowflakes form took it, and he's collected water from all over the world. When he took the New Zealand water and dropped it, it went whoosh, like this, and on the edge of each snowflake is that little fern. Little mud. I wish I had time to show you. It's mind-blowing stuff. But this is before he even made man. He speaks to the water, he speaks to the dirt, he invented that too. Do this, do this, do this, do this. And they do it. And we go, I don't think there's a God. I think It's probably something in the water. No, it's somebody who made the water. It's really what it is. So check this out, all right? This is the first job ever recognized, ever recorded in the Bible, and it's the Lord. Why did he plant a garden? Why didn't he just say garden be? Because he's the gardener. Now, what are you talking about? When you read the Bible, hundreds of verses talk about sowing, planting, watering. It's got all this kind of stuff. Look at this. 87% of the flora and the fauna in this nation are found nowhere else in the world. We're not an offshoot from Australia or Antarctica or any other country you've ever seen. Why is this so unique, this deal? When first discovered, there were no animals here, only birds and flowers. First animals came. There were some others before the Maoris, but they ate them. So the others who survived are still here, and God's giving them the gift. Okay. Other than Antarctica, this is the uttermost place in the world from Israel. So you know what I think this is? I put this, though apparently small, if the oceans were drained around this nation, it's actually bigger than Australia. And the Maoris will know because their early legends have New Zealand being pulled out like a fish out of the water. There's a reason for that. I think that God made New Zealand as another Eden. Our great ancestors screwed it up when they were in... Where is the Eden that they were driven out of? It's now Iran and Iraq. That's more like hell today. So he put another place somewhere in the world, long, far, far away from everything else, religious, and he planted that. And I think it's us. Let me show it. Somebody said, why are you calling God? I said, I didn't. He did. Jesus did. He said to those who are listening, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. It'll be even more fruitful. So much of the Christian life is described by agricultural analogies. Seed of the word of God, the planting of the Lord, the sowing of a ministry and character, reaping, the fruit of the Spirit, the husking. Gardener. First task assigned to man, the first temptation, centers around the fruit, set as sacred. Failure in this area is mankind's original fall. God not only originates the gift of the garden, but the very provision of earth is actively sustained by his grace, as is the life planted in the seed. You want to see how good and how smart you are? Make a single seed that actually grows. That's why my friend is one of the best scientists in the world. I just met him a little while ago, meeting this incredible chemist. One of the great, his name is Dr. James. That's why I mentioned him. James Tour. And people are scared of him who are atheists. Because he doesn't argue to them about the evolution of this or that. He just says, here's a molecule, make it. And they can't do it. Somebody did it. See that? Okay, check this out. Now I've got to hurry. By the way, if you take away these three gifts I'm going to show you, take away the land and all you've got left is drunk, angry, fighting Maoris. Here's the second one. It is part of the protection of the first one. The warrior defender. Look at our God of nations, at thy feet in the bonds of love we meet. Hear our voice as we entreat God defend our freeland. God's Pacific triple star from the shafts of strife and war. Make her praises heard afar. God defend New Zealand. We have never been invaded by anybody else. What's this? All the ladies are scared of this because their kids, their boys, their little boys, have little guns and fight. And I think, you know, we're Christians. We don't fight. The Bible says the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is... Look, why are you marching around here today just like an army? And why does that prophecy have a huge military thing in it? Don't be afraid of war. It's the wrong... It's real, this war. Look, The Lord shall fight for you. You shall hold your peace. Maoris knew the special land they'd been given was sacred. It didn't belong to them, but to God. They had to watch over it for him, and if needed, protect and defend it against all enemies. Why in the fat do we do haakas that freak people out that this, the All Blacks have come and the warriors have arrived? Why are we doing all of that stuff? That's haka is sort of like, hey, if you want to play, that's fun. If not, we're going to kill you. So, it's part of the divine purpose. See, may our mountains ever be freedom's ramparts on the sea. Make us faithful unto thee. God, defend our free land. God, who in the nations van, preaching love and truth to men, working out thy glorious plan. God, defend New Zealand. Samoa got in. Look at that. See? Tonga got in. All kinds of people get coming and get part of the party, see? And not take much time before going through history. This is a planet rife with war. How does it happen? Despite so many good intentions and even sincere convictions, there's still wars and fighting among us. It's still going on in the world. The Bible is not a book of fairy tales. It tells the truth about everything significant. What has happened in war traces for us the roots of what has happened in our world. Why is there so much in the Bible about war? Isn't Jesus a nice person and stuff? In the book given to us to speak from childhood about God's love and care, why is there so much record of battles and conflicts, not only between feuding families, they are still fighting after thousands of years. They had an argument back in Abraham's time and it's still a fight. Feuding families, brawling brothers, but between opposing nations, practicing religions, and even long-term civilizations. For you, by you, this is David, I have run through a troop. By my God, have I leaped over a wall. These are incredible events. Now, there's only three major athletic metaphors in the scripture. The runner, the wrestler, and the boxer. Two of these three are martial arts. Built into the very nature of a boy is the knowledge that someday he may have to fight for what is right and he must train to win. Not all is well with the world. War has come to God's world, war that began long ago in heaven and will not cease till the Prince of Peace, which Wes talked about, who's coming back, takes back what is rightfully his. What is the most watched movie on earth? The Avengers. Who are the Avengers? They're a bunch of superheroes who came to stop the universe from being destroyed. That's who they are. Do they die? Yes, actually, all of them do. Just like missionaries do when God calls them. What is the most watched television series on earth? CSI. They're all things about, and also the SEALs, the Navy SEALs. The reason why that is because the war is on. And why do you get to be a SEAL? Nobody gets to be a SEAL just by fun. Out of 100 people, you'd very rarely find one who qualifies to be a SEAL. Why? Every SEAL, by the way, for those who've never seen that, and you don't watch television because you're saved. Navy SEALs... And we have the New Zealand version of that. Australia has their own version of it. Are the top fighting people in that nation. That's what they are. We got Maori Navy SEALs. See that? So the point is this. If you are chosen to be a SEAL, it simply means this. You know that sometime you will probably get killed. And I think God treats his church as if they are Navy SEALs. Unique, special. Not everybody gets to be one, but everybody needs one. Now I got to hurry. Blessed be the Lord, my strength. Teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Does it shock us that church is called to fight? Doesn't that seem unfitting for a bride? Not if you know who the bridegroom is. C.S. Lewis said, enemy-occupied territory. That's our planet. Not all the soldiers of an army have the task of bearing arms, but all must be trained as if they someday will. To be called with a gift like this is neither easy nor popular. To have great power. This sounds like a Spider-Man. To have great power, and yet despite the opposition, to use it well and wisely is no ordinary calling. Like Jabez of old, a Bible story, rejected by his own people and made an outcast, befriended only by other young misfits, like a gang kicked out, who joined him in his lonely life until a deadly enemy came to threaten their city, the warrior has no easy calling at all. Like Samson, whose gift from God made him legend in history, the fighter can be a target to so many assassins that only divine interventions can keep them alive. Three. Wow. And this is the one that shocked me most. Now, see, it's 2 a.m. I'm kind of laughing because God's showing me all kind of funny things. And then I said, what else do you do? It's 2 a.m, okay? And he said, I am an entertainer. Do you know what a shock that gave me? You know what we do with entertainers who come to church? We kick them out as quickly as possible because they may corrupt our young people and they too will be entertainers. We don't understand what this gift is. I'm going to tell you what it is because it blew my mind. I am so shocked. I say aloud, and I think, I don't know if my son was asleep, my wife was. I said out loud, no way. And he said it again like this, I am an entertainer. You never mess with I am. Never mess with I am. People say, who are you? I am that I am. You can't compare yourself with anybody else. You can say, who am you? Now look at this one. These are the 3 gifts given. Out of all the gifts of grace, this is the most surprising of all. We don't know how to handle somebody who is a genuine entertainer. The only time we will take people who are entertainers if they will be part of the worship team. Because they're good singers, you know. When I had a band for 2 years, people said, I'll go to the church, they'll have you, because they're, you know, pretty useless. They had no idea at all what God can do. We couldn't be more wrong. See these areas? Sports, entertainment, music, entertainment, dance, entertainment, movies, entertainment, comedy, entertainment. You tell me why people come to New Zealand from other countries and want to live here. The guy who did until Avengers, the biggest movie ever watched, lives here now. The others, they come 10,000 miles, like, I'd like to live here, but takes 10,000, it's a long time. You can't get a UB for that. May our mountains ever be freedom's ramparts on the sea. Make us faithful unto thee, God. From dissension, envy, hate, and corruption, guard our state. Make our country good and great. Why is it? We just had a, Benny had a, she had, maybe I think it was 3, because each one got sold out. See? Why does a girl 22 years old from this country get 5 awards here, the equivalent of the Grammys, goes to the U.S. and gets another 3? How does that happen? What about Lord a few years? What is that? Why does a little dance team go to L.A. and beat the fat out of everybody else? Why do movies like, I remember watching Lord of the Rings. I want to apologize for those of you thinking, you're watching a movie? Yes, I do. I'm sorry. God showed me that he does some movie scene. I remember seeing these awards being given. And it like seemed like everyone was New Zealand, New Zealand, New Zealand. And the guy who was in charge said, has everybody gone out of New Zealand now? Do you know why this is? There's something wholly supernatural about this. You get it? You understand? You walk out of here a changed man or woman. Look. I wanted to show these verses because if I said, oh, God is an entertainer, they're looking, oh, he is, he's really gone now. Yes, I have. Yes, I have. So I'm going to ask you this. I ask college students this. So look at this first verse. This is just Psalm 16:11. You know it's a prayer. You will make known to me the path of life in your presence. And I want you to watch what is said here. If I said in your presence is, and I asked various different Christian works, If I asked a reformer, they gave us all kinds of amazing things, the Bible and other things. If I asked a reformer, what would you say that God is really like? They'd probably say the power and the glory, and that's true. Others may say his love and his care. That's also true. But that's not what God's first thing. The first thing. I'll show you that. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Look at the second one. Our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with joyful shouting. You tell me any religious system in the world that has this as the evidence that God is with them. What is this? Is this for Christian people? Look, our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with joyful shouting. Then they said among the nations, does it say Christian nations? Among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. Wow. Do you know why they join? Why should you give up a perfectly good religion people have practiced for 1,000 years or more and become a Christian? Why? Because they have more fun than you do. Look at this. Look, it's just the star. It's just pointing out he's coming, see? When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceeding. I want you to see how many times that little word, J-O-Y, repeats again and again and again. Look, keep going. They asked Jesus, well, why are you here? See, he says, he that sent me, the Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. The Lord Jesus describes himself. Now, this is a really cool one. John 17:13 is the longest prayer we have in the New Testament. And Jesus is talking to his Father. And it's a whole book there, a chunk there. This is what Jesus says to his Father. Now I come to you. And these things I speak in the world. Now, what would you fill in that is? So that they may have my joy made full in themselves. Look at this. Here is this guy is a radical. He would be a terrorist. He'd be an ISIS today. He gets saved. How in the fat do you get saved when you're a terrorist who's killing Christians? This is what he says. I please all men and all things. Who in the fat would say that as a terrorist? I'm here because I want to please all men and all things. This is a guy who was called Saul, now he's called Paul, and he wrote half of the New Testament. You think you're a cool terrorist? No idea what happens to you when you get saved. See? We beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus that as you received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you will abound more and more. And I want to tell you this. We are the entertainment of God. The Bible says... So I ask you the question, I ask college kids, I ask them, why do you think God made us? And then they go, I say, look, I'm going to tell you two things that are the wrong answers, because I looked at it, it's not, okay? The first wrong answer is this, maybe he was lonely and he needed somebody to love him. That is dumb. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have enjoyed each company forever. They don't need you to... Would you make me number one on the charts this week? He doesn't need your puny little... Maybe it's this one. Second one they go. And I said, this is even worse than the first one and dumber than the first one. Perhaps he needed help in making the universe. Here's Revelation. Now, check what this is. This is the end of time. The angels, the cherubim, the seraphim, the animals, all of it. I have no idea how many people there are, all before the Lord. And this is a song we sing. We still don't know what it is. Look at it. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. It's all true. For you have created all things. And why? And for your pleasure. They are and were created. That is the entire divine creation purpose for the world. So do you understand what a gift God put in New Zealand? It's It's wild. You'll be amazed at how many times that word joy appears. Every time he arrives, joy comes. In every revival, first of all, you see how screwed up your life is. And you can yell. I've heard people go, ah, like this, like somebody got an old Coke bottle and jammed it in their side and kept it there for 2 days. Because they never thought they were so screwed up. The first thing God said to Israel, I want you to remember me. And it wasn't on love and these other things, though true. He said, fear me. You've got to understand who it is that's asking you to do things. He is the one who rules it all. So every revival, when God comes, people get freaked out. They have no idea that he is like he is. But when he comes and they get over what's been happening to them in the terrifying situation of being in the presence of this, something happens to them and they laugh and they cry and it's beautiful. And the weird thing is, whatever happens to them afterwards, it's the same. We're going to kill you. Glory to God. I'm going. Are they crazy? No. They understand for the first time what God has in his heart. I said all of this. Ah! I'm past my time. I've got to be sent out crying. I did ask God, what do you do on your day off, okay? If over many centuries he spoke to others gifted by him, they might become for us seers, like the early Maori seers, prophets and speaking voices of many holy men and women. They'd become over time the tongue, passion, and record of a unique people. Some I meet often in places made sacred by special. Sometimes it might even be a big tent or something that you could put people in. Or one of the football stadiums, which is why God allows us to play football. Something's got to be big enough to put some of his kids when that revival comes. Come on. Some I meet often. See these things? Check this. Gavin, wonderful book. If we're made to bring him his highest delight in watching how we may each use the gifts he gave us wisely and well, if this had been the underlying root of everything he ever dreamed and intended for mankind, knowing how and why he works, we can now say what God really likes to do on his day off. He himself has always been at work all 6 days in the week. These may be demanding but wonderful tasks, can be sometimes hard, scary, or challenging. He can take time to share his help in those tasks with us, as we are those who have become with him active and gifted work for him and his world. And then, one day in seven, he takes a break. He likes to put on a party. He hangs out with others who are his workers. He gives others a chance to share what is happening in his world. They could call it testimonies. The day we can expect to be a lot of fun. His friends don't have to be bored or busy or tired that day of rest. They can sing, they can dance, they can eat or just sleep. He rests. He provides a chance to take a break from our own labors and get ready for the next week again. Till the jobs we do for and with him are for us over. So what does God do on his day off? Something wholly different from work. He goes to church.
Assume you're able to, but that assumption is not always accurate. Some of us will want to listen to that over a number of times because it's revolutionary and breaking religious strongholds. I love the bit about the laity and the clergy. We've kicked that one to bits a long time ago. We don't use those terms here. Just like we don't use the term pastor's wife, we don't use that here. And because anything that relegates people below what God has called them to be and do is something we need to kick to bits, right? So if you're in Christ today You have everything you are and everything he's gifted you with, regardless of where that is expressed, is a holy thing. So, Father, I just want to thank you for all your beautiful people today and all those who are yet to know you. Lord, because you're calling so many. You've called us out of darkness. You've called us into light. And, Lord, I thank you for light going on today in so many hearts and minds. Father, any old boxes that have been around our identity and around the things that are valuable in your heart that have been misconstrued in our thinking, Lord, we ask you to just keep kicking those to bits. Keep shifting off the old things that have brought limitation to what you've called us to be and do. And Father, I thank you, you are the great gardener. Lord, you are the great warrior. And Lord, you are the great entertainer. And Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, for the joy we receive in watching your creation from a sunrise to a sunset, to the brilliant stars and galaxies we can see at night. You are the great lighting showman. And I want to thank you for all of creation that demonstrates such creativity and beauty and entertainment. Watching lambs frolicking in a paddock. Watching birds just enjoy flight and the breezes. Father, we just want to thank you for the way you filled your creation with expressions of joy and praise and worship. Father, set us free today, Lord, from boxes that have held us in religious captivity. Father, we ask, Lord, that those boxes be smashed and removed from our lives. Father, we thank you for the spirit of liberty just moving across us, liberating us in Jesus' name. You may not know Jesus at all. You may never have made that first step of coming into God's great family. I want to say today, this is an opportunity for you to receive Jesus into your life, to actually become one of his children, to embark on a life where you discover your true purpose. Not only that, all your sin will be forgiven, your guilt will be lifted off your life, and you'll actually start to know who you really are. He's got hope for you. He's got destiny for you. He's got the release of shame for you. When life seems like it's just a turmoil, he's got direction. He's got an anchor. He's got stability for you. Where there's been heaviness, where there's been oppression, His love and his goodness will lift that off you. I want to thank you, Lord, that we are no longer in the world without hope. Maybe you felt that way, you've been in this world, but it's like there's been no hope. I want to introduce you to the one who is hope today. So if you want to receive Jesus today, you want to ask him into your life, want us to pray with you to receive the Lord into your life, to become a follower of him and to become a new creation, and to be one who receives eternal life, I'd like you to just slip up your hand right now. We're going to pray with you. Just slip up your hand right now, if that's you. If that's you, just ask the person next to you, standing next to you. Maybe you don't know them. Maybe you came with them. They bought you, whatever. You bought them, rather. Ask them if they need you to stand with them while they make this decision. Just ask the person next to you. Do you need me to stand with you while you make this decision? Because I want to tell you, this is life and death now. This is life and death now. Just ask the person next to you, do you need me to stand with you while you make this decision? I'll come with you. I'll stand with you. Just lift up your hand if that's you. Lift up your hand if that's you right now. God bless you. God bless you over here. Anybody else? That's you. You want to receive Jesus today. You want him to... The Bible says that if we open our heart to him, we believe that God is. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he's been raised from the dead, and we invite him into our lives. He'll actually come in. That's the God of the universe will come into us. This is phenomenal. So just... Lovely young person here, I think. Young lady here. AD and Speedy, do you want to just accompany her? Just come out the front, if you would. Yeah, I know it's a brave thing to do, but Jesus was very brave when he hung on the cross for you. Anybody else? Speedy, if you're here, just come as well. God bless you. Just anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Now's your opportunity. And for all those who are online, we're going to be praying, and you can join us in prayer and receive Jesus yourself. Just stretch out your hands to this lovely young lady. What's your name? What's your name? Alizea. What a beautiful name. And Samara. God bless you, Samara. Do you want to receive Jesus as well? Is that what you want to do? Or have you already done that? Do you want to receive Jesus today? You do. You want to receive Jesus today? That is absolutely awesome. Isn't that awesome? God, just give great God a great God bless today. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else? Now what we're going to do is we're all going to pray together. We're all going to pray together. And there may be somebody here, you just haven't had the courage to step out. But I know a lady, I've known her very well for 30-odd, 40 years, who did the same thing on one night where she heard the gospel and she said, I'm in. She didn't lift her hand, she didn't go up the front, but she prayed this prayer when the man led the prayer and it changed her life. And she's standing in blue right here. How about we pray together? Would you like to do that? Yeah. How about we all pray together? And online, if you can pray with us. Just pray after me. And if you mean this in your heart, God's going to do something very special for you today. You're going to become His child, His very special daughter. And He's going to give you eternal life. It means you don't have to fear death anymore. Many other things. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for sending Jesus. I believe he's your son. He died on a cross for me. Not for his own sin, but to take all the punishment that my sin deserved. I thank you, Lord. Forgive me of everything I've ever done that has been against you. I want to thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Come into my life. Make me yours. Thank you for giving me eternal life. Thank you for making me your daughter or for your son online. I receive you today. Thank you for making me your child. I give my life to you. Fill me with your strength, with your power, with your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Ruth, come. And is Oscar and Kalila here? If you are. God bless you. God bless you. Beautiful young ladies, thank you so much. Well, what a wonderful time we've had. Thank you so much, Winky. Thank you. Thank you, William. And thank you, Joe and Joseph and Leslie, for those meetings over the weekend. Just wonderful times. Janet had a good report of a healing this morning as well. Somebody that'll come to you. And then those of you who, I understand there's an evangelist here from Auckland. You took the team out on the streets yesterday. Are you still here with us? Just wave your hand at me if you are. Just lift up your hand up the back there. God bless you. Thank you so much for coming down to our city. I want to meet you. Just thank you so much for empowering people and doing what you're doing. Just stretch out your hand. What's your name again?